Jesus was saying something in Mark chapter 7, 14. Mark chapter 7, 14. Then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. All of you listen, he said, and try to understand. Try to what? Understand. That's New Living Translation. Is anybody in the booth? Can you give me a New Living Translation? Yeah. Then Jesus called the crowd to come and hear. All of you do what? Listen. Then he said, and try to what? Make effort to understand what I'm saying. Don't just be there. So try to understand this thing. If you don't understand, it will be useless. It will be Greek to you. And the benefit you won't get. You know, in Acts chapter 11, 13, 14. He says, King James Version, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for who? Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell thee words whereby thou and all the house shall be what? There are things you hear that will save your life. But those are the things the devil wants you to hear. That's when you start going around and he will remind you, get up, do this. And we do some legitimate things at the wrong time. And we miss out. There are things that God will tell you ahead of time to prepare you for what is coming. Every single time we encounter things, I want to tell you something. God has spoken to you about it before I came. Except you are not listening. He has given you something that will prepare you for victory before that thing comes. But because he's so faithful. But because you may not be listening, which is not his fault. So I'm pleading with us. When you come to church, be serious. It's not a joking place. I pastor you. The things I deal with, you don't know them. The people I talk with, you don't know them. The people I go to see in the hospital, I have no idea. I see people face stuff, man. I see people face stuff. And in your spirit, you know where they are. You know this is getting... I'm telling you. You go to a doctor, he will prescribe medicine for you. The moment you leave, he has forgotten you. But the pastor will carry you in his heart to his bed, sleep and wake up with you in his heart. Anywhere he's thinking of you, he's praying, he's talking. He's praying. He's continuously. This is not, you can't be disconnected from him. You go to a doctor, you prescribe, take his money, and out you go. Anything that happens to you, it doesn't matter. But the pastor will carry you where? Sir. He's sleeping. He wake up in the night. He's talking to God about you. And so you feel a sense of urgency to appeal to people that God has something to equip you with for those times. And it is his word of faith. You got to listen. Jesus said, please listen. Try to understand. Make effort to understand. There are two dangerous traps. I want to tell you, the enemy didn't want me to preach this thing to you. I'm not supposed to be standing here this morning. They didn't want me to preach it. You have no idea what battle went on to this. I'm not supposed to be standing here and be talking. The Lord had to literally, physically come to intervene. Physically, I'm not telling you dream. He had to physically come to put his hand on there. Say, no. So, but here I am preaching it. Praise the Lord. There are two dangerous traps the devil sets for Christians. And those things are devastating. And I want you to listen to me. Two very dangerous traps he sets for Christians. One is to confuse you about who you are. One is to what? Confuse you about who you are. To confuse you about who you are. To confuse you about who you are. Number two, he tries to put the burden of producing the Christian life on you. And he tries to put the burden of dealing with your sins on you. He knows that this is impossible. But he knows that religious people do that. He tries to put that burden on you. And let me tell us here, Christians, on the top of the list, why many people backslide in the church is these two things. Especially putting the burden of living Christian life on you. A lot of people have carried it, have not produced anything. They are frustrated. The same thing, the standard they think they would have lived to, they are not living it, and they are disappointed. Are you following what I'm saying? They are disappointed, and the same thing they are fighting is still happening over and over, and they feel frustrated. And they feel this is not working. And then the book carry the burden of that sin on their head and feel that God doesn't love them anymore. And God is angry with me. And God is not going to answer my prayer. And the devil is having a good day. He's using this. He started to use this from the early church. He started to use this from Adam. Move to the early church, and it hasn't changed. So he attacked the early church with it in Acts 15:7. And when there had been much disputing, they were disputing. There was disputing. I mean, this is the council, this is the big guy that you know. Who saw Jesus live with him? When there was much disputing, Peter rose up. Peter and Paul fought him. They refused to allow him to get any foothold. Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know, what do you know? How that a good while ago, God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel. And believe. And God, which knoweth their hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them. Purifying. Who is doing all these things? All this why? God. That's the burden who the devil put on you to produce. Purifying their hearts by what? Who is doing all these things now? God. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God? Church. Why? Now, therefore, why tempt ye who? God. To put a yoke upon the neck of these are already disciples, they are not heathens. That believers, the devil is tricking them to put the yoke of all the things God is supposed to do on them so they produce it. Wicked thing. He said, why are you tempting God? It's God that is doing these things and you people are tempting God? Why are you looking God in the eye and say, well, what you are supposed to do, I'm going to ask them to do it. Why are you tempting God? Why do you tempt God? That's the question. He said, you are putting a yoke upon the neck of the what? The sap. Which neither our fathers nor we are what? Able to bear. He's still doing it today. He hasn't stopped. Matthew 11:28. And see what Jesus said when he came here. Come unto me, all ye that what? All that you are labor, trying to be a Christian labor, all that labor, and doesn't produce what? Anything. All ye that labor and are heavy what? Laden. And I will give you, give me the burdens of your life. Stop. Take a rest. Let me take it over from you. The devil wants to come and say, no, carry it. Then carry some more. And then carry some more. And then there is money here. You know, I'm not giving you the money. Carry some more. Church, let me tell you. This is why many Christians backslide. They carry this thing. It's so heavy. They don't know what to do. They are sincere in the heart. But they are being given a yoke. Which Jesus said, give unto me. I'll carry it for you. So you go have some rest. What is rest? Stop. Stop. Matthew, let me read the Message version of this. Are you tired? That's Matthew 11:28. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Trying to be holy. Trying to produce it. Trying to produce righteousness. Trying and trying and trying and failing. He said, are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. And you will recover your what? Your life. The thing is about to kill you. Recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. And walk with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. Come unto my grace. The grace of God. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me. You will learn to live freely and lightly. I want to tell you, do you know why youths don't go to church? It's because of this. I'm not telling you a lie. They are sincere, but they look at the, I can't measure up to the standard required in that church. Many of them are not going to church because of it. They want to. But they have an idea, you know, the standard required of us, and they know, because they are struggling with things that youth struggle with, and they are sincere, they begin to draw back. Guess who is enjoying the devil? There's one scripture that is very misunderstood in the body of Christ. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, walk out your what? With fear. The moment we read this thing, we go and carry all the load. Say now, the Bible say, walk out. But God, it's your turn. The Bible say, walk out. And then, walk out. And then, walk out. Peter said, why are you tempting God? That's tempting God. I want to make a statement that will help us. I want to clarify this and clear up this confusion. You need God to give you revelation of what the scripture says. You know, I was talking with my wife about the woman that was caught in adultery. Remember that story? For the first time, the Lord told me why Jesus was writing with his finger. I didn't read it from anybody. As I was talking with my wife, he told me, he said, what Jesus was doing with his finger. They were telling him, the law said, and he was telling them, this is the same finger that wrote the law on the sand. I wrote it. You're not telling me what I wrote. This is the same finger of God that wrote that thing on clay. So he was writing on sand. I wrote it. The Lord told me, said that. He said he didn't understand. He was telling them, are you telling me what I wrote? I wrote it. But I've come for a new dispensation. Because that law has proved that all of you are what? Sinners. All of you. So you need to get a revelation of the scripture. Let's just talk. You begin to interpret scripture with your understanding. When the Bible says, walk out your own what? But the next verse says, 13. The next verse says what? For. What does for mean? Because if I'm walking out, and yet it's God, which walketh? Ah. Then that walkout needs to be defined for me. Because now, God is the one walking in you. Both to what? Will. And to do what? I want to make a statement. Take it anywhere you want and tell them. Listen to me, church. The Old Testament walk was the walk of law. The Bible said, the man that doeth them shall live by them. The New Testament walk is not the walk of the law. It's the walk of faith. They are not the same. The Old Testament walk, which is the burden that Jesus came to lift up from us, the walk that killed us, the Old Testament walk, Romans 10:5. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, which you produce yourself, that the man which what? Doeth them. The man which what? Doeth these things shall now live by them. Switch over to the New Testament. What did he say? The just shall live by faith. Switch over to the Old Testament. The man which what? Doeth these things shall live by them. Switch over to the New Testament. You don't live by this one again. The just now shall live what? I don't know if you see the difference. How many of you get what I'm saying? Let me go back there again. Because if you don't get this thing, you will not know what the devil is doing. Is that he's taking this Romans 10:5 and bringing it to Christians and loading it upon them. And this route that we saw in Romans 10:5, put it back. See this route? It's an impossible route. The Bible said, by the deeds of the law shall no man be what? Justified before God. It's an impossible route. You want to know how impossible it is? Is there anybody here who is as perfect as God? Lift up your lying hand. Why are you not as perfect as God? There is none holy. There is none beside. Neither is there anyone like us. You sing it. You don't even understand what you are testifying. Romans 9:32. When you start seeking life by works, you stumble. You keep stumbling. You are going to be stumbling. Because the only victory you have is by your faith. So Romans 9:32. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they what? Stumbled at the stumbling stone, which is Christ. The Old Testament work is the work of the law. He said this righteousness that is produced by it is the one you produce by the work of the law, that those who do those things shall live by them. But in the New Testament, he says you don't live by that anymore. You live by your faith in Christ. Why faith in Christ? For it is he at work in you to will and to what? So who is bearing the burden now? You or him? Him. So what's your job? Trust him. Trust him. He said, give me that burden. I want to carry it for you. For without me, you can do what? The Old Testament, the man that dwelt this thing shall live by them, discounts Christ. Discounts Jesus. Doesn't mention Jesus. And yet the Bible said there was nothing that was made without him. And then the Bible said, okay, produce righteousness without him. It's an impossible act. Scripture said there's nothing that was made without what? Without. Now, the Bible says, okay, the righteousness that is of the law, the man that does this thing shall live what? By them. Go and do it without Christ. That's what the devil is trying to do. So you do it, forget about Jesus. You can do it. So we are back to you. Oh, you said I should give it to somebody. Praise the Lord. Again, let me tell you, this is top of the list why people backslide. Especially youths, they don't like coming to church because that body is heavy. It's so heavy they can't even touch it. They're sincere, they want to, but oh boy. They think, I can't measure up now. Come as you are. Jesus wants to take the burden what? From you. Can I hear amen? Amen. Look at 2 Thessalonians, Thessalonians 1:11. See what God does. Wherefore, us, we pray always for you, that our God, why tempt you God? Why tempt you God? Peter said, why are you tempting God? This is what God does. Why are you taking it over from him? He says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill. And what? Fulfill all the good pleasure of his what? Goodness and the work of faith with power. So it's God that does that. It's Jesus that does that. It's Jesus. Tell your neighbor, it's Jesus that does that. It's Jesus that does that. John 14:10. You see how Jesus lived his life? He lived a life that was burden free too. Look at 43. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father? And the Father is what? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that what? Dwelleth in me, what? Does the work. I don't carry the burden. Does the work. He does the work. So you can say, the Christ that dwelleth in me, he what? Does the work. That's what Paul was saying. Paul said, I am crucified. I'm dead. The life I live by faith in the Son of God. I simply rely on him. I wake up trusting. I go to bed trusting. I put my head on him. I put my faith him. I put my confidence in him. I wake up, I sleep, he's my life, he's my all and all. I don't have any other source. Him. And then he said, he that began what? So the works, you didn't begin it. How do you want to end it? Church. You know who gave you the work to do? It's the devil. You didn't begin it. But now you have to end it. Is anybody following me? You didn't begin it. Let me repeat it again. You must have revelation. Don't walk in religion. The work of the New Testament is not the work of the law. The work of the law has no faith in it. And yet, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. How can you please God without faith? So it's the work of faith. 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 The work that is produced by the power of the Spirit. The work that is produced by the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. The work that is produced by the Lord Jesus himself in you, with you, and for you. And it works because you simply trust him. So youth can come to church. Even if you are struggling with pornography, come. He will take the burden from you. You don't have to stop coming. Come and dance. Come and rejoice. Come and dance. Come. If we are dancing, join. If I dance more than everybody else. Why? That's why he said, come. Give me that body. Don't worry about it. You can't handle it. I've come that you have life. And have it what? You can't produce it. If I didn't give you, you won't have it. So you come. Give me your body. Come unto me. All you that are heavily. Youth, come. To church for God's sake. I don't care what you are struggling with. Come, dance, rejoice. That burden, he will take it from you. You won't even feel it. He will just simply snatch it with a powerful hand. And within 1 year too, because those that trust in him will never be put to what? Within 1 year too, you won't even want to see pornography again. Because he that started the good works, we what? Complete. Praise the Lord. John 6:26. Then said they unto him, what shall we do? They're asking Jesus. What shall we do? They said unto him, what shall we do that we might walk the works of who? You're not reading with me. Okay, if you are not going to read, I'm going to give you more burden. Somebody must carry it right now. You don't like this people. You're always telling me to take it. Come on, can we read together? Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might walk the works of God? Then he told them how to walk the work of God. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. That you what? Believe on him whom? That's the work of the New Testament. It's a work of faith. It's your faith that produces this thing. It's your faith in Christ. Do you know the woman with the issue of blood? All she did was to trust in the Lord Jesus. And she touched Jesus. And power came out. The same way you trust him, power comes out. Power comes out to make you what you shall be. That which is not possible with men becomes what? Possible with you. For all things are possible only to those that believe it. Thank you. Now, Jesus illustrated this like with the tree and the branch. I want to ask you a question. How much burden does the branch bear on a tree? Huh? Come on. What did Jesus say about you? He said, I'm the vine, and you are only what? How can the branch say to the tree, let me carry the body? If the branch cannot even hold itself up, can't hold itself what? Is the tree that is holding it. And all the things you are going to see in your life externally is as a result of the work that Christ has done internally. That's why he said to us, he said, clean first the what? Inside. Then the outside, take care of yourself. All the life you live is what Christ has done internally. That is the time. He said, I'm the source of your life. I supply these things. It's my power. It's my strength. I'm the one holding you. I want to ask you a question. If I ask you now to rise up and lift up your hand, how long will it last? These people are not answering me. Huh? How long will it last? How about 2 hours? If I how about 5 hours? How about 24 hours? Is there anybody here who can lift up your hand for 24 hours? How can you lift up your life then? How can you hold your life? You can't lift up your hand for more than 15 minutes. So how can you lift up all the complexities of your life yourself? How can? That's why Jesus said, give me the burden. Let me what? Lift you up. Let me hold you. Let me do it. But the devil will come and put yoke on you and say, you do it. And the thing will, you won't produce nothing. And then you become a hypocrite. You will not be free to even discuss your challenges of life. You won't say them. Because you're afraid that if you say them, people will think you are not a good Christian. I've said it. Only good Christians are free to discuss their challenges. The ones hiding it don't understand Christianity. Christianity is about freedom and sincerity to talk. Praise the Lord. I didn't hear you well. In Luke chapter 4 verse 18, I alluded to this at the Bible study. Luke chapter 4, 18. The Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, what? To the poor. Now, I was teaching this on Thursday. And we are saying that what Jesus is saying is that this is good news, brethren. Because we don't know how to deal with our failures. And the enemy waits out there and gives you the burden of atoning for your sin. We try to atone for our sin. Is that true of us? You are not talking. Let's be real now. Either we start fasting, or we sulk, we don't come out. If you think it's too bad, you won't talk to somebody. You know, you're trying to atone, and then you know that. But that is devastating, because now, here you are, you've done something bad, you don't know how to handle it. You are angry with yourself, you are angry with your neighbor, you are angry with everybody, and you do some more. You do some more. Because in that mindset, that will give you victory. It becomes a turmoil of life. It becomes a place of disaster. You don't know how to handle it. But Jesus said, I've come to announce good news to the poor. What does it mean? What it means is that there's none of you who has anything to pay for his sin. You can't redeem yourself. Nothing. I'm the only one who can pay for yourself. You are so poor, you can't pay for yourself. You can't pay today. You can't pay tomorrow. You can't pay what? Next tomorrow. The only person, the only one who has what it takes to pay for the sin of man is the Son of God. He says, this is good news to you poor people. You don't have anything to pay. Brethren, when you sin, understand you can't pay for it. So stop trying to what? Pay for it. It's stupidity. Nothing can wash away your sin except what? The blood of Jesus. Case. All that sulking, all that hissing, all that won't talk to people, all that you won't get out from your room, you stay there 24 hours, none of it will wash away your sin. You are poor. You have nothing to pay for your sin. Absolutely what? Nothing. can't redeem yourself from the penalty of sin. Nobody can redeem himself from the penalty of one sin. Not one person. You can't fast yourself out of it. Nothing. He said, good news to the poor. You are poor. You can't pay for it. And even David wrote it now, Psalm 49, 7. David said, yet they cannot redeem themselves from death by paying a ransom to God. Nobody can redeem himself. He said, yet they cannot redeem themselves from death by paying a ransom what? To God. Verse 8. Redemption does not come so easily, for no one can ever pay enough for it. You can't pay for the penalty of sin. Nobody. We can't. There's only one person who paid for it. And who is that? You must be humble enough to tell yourself, I can't pay. Pride is nonsense. Your pride won't get there, won't help you. In fact, your pride will worsen things. Can I hear amen? Amen? Grace will humble you like nothing. Grace will bring you to the table and tell you have nothing to you have nothing to contribute here. Everything you are receiving is free. Everything you are receiving is mercy. Proud people don't like it. So if you commit sin, stop killing yourself. You can't pay for it. Just understand that you cannot what? Pay for it. The only thing you need to do is to do what the scripture says. Confess your sins. And God says, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all righteousness. Case closed. And that way you can move forward. That way you can move forward. Look, if you fight, a good soldier fights to fight another day. Yeah, you lost today now. Yeah, you lost today, but tomorrow you can win. You don't stop, you don't go to battle and then because they shot you today, you are not going back. No. You live to fight another day now. Victory must come if you continue in the word of God. If you are patiently trusting God, you will break through one day. But you don't kill yourself before your victory comes. Don't kill yourself before you see that victory over that thing. You must understand that only the blood of Jesus can pay for our sins and accept it as truth. And believe it as truth. And take advantage of it so that you can move on and fight again. Otherwise, you'll be so discouraged. You will be so discouraged. You lose your fighting spirit. Because you can't do anything. If you want to pray, you think God won't hear. If anything, the devil passes, you think, oh my God, because of what I did, this has come to kill me. I'm telling the truth. And because of that, you give up on God, give up on the blessings of God. You don't reach, you lose everything. You must learn how to deal with your failure. If you don't learn how to deal with your failure, the devil will wreck your faith. He will hold on to it and kill your boldness, kill your faith, and make you feel so unworthy. You can't move forward. And church, let me tell us, without faith, you won't have victory. So he will hit your faith so bad that by the time you recover, you've lost the major battle. And what caused it is one thing you did that he won't let you sleep. He'll come and pummel you. He'll come and accuse you. If you wake up, he'll talk to you about it. You are eating, he'll remind you about it. You are entering taxi, he'll tell you about it. You wake up, he's still telling you about it. Tell him to shut up! The blood of Jesus paid for it. He should leave you alone. Because you are living to fight another day. If you are following me, shout hallelujah. Amen. I want to make a statement. If you don't, church, if you don't understand this principle of forgiveness, your faith will not produce much. Do you know there is this man that lived there in the 1916-something, Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon he pastored the largest church in England at his time. They called him the Prince of Preachers. Towards the last days of his life, he made a statement. He said that the most successful Christians he ever met were the people who understood the gift of righteousness. and people who understood forgiveness. He said they were the most successful Christians he ever met. Those ones who understood forgiveness of sin, those who understood the gift of righteousness, he said they were the most successful he ever met. It looks simple, but what I'm telling you, the devil uses to put stort and make us fall. If you read the book of Romans, it talks about the gospel. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is what? Unto what? And by it, what is revealed? The righteousness of God is what? Revealed, which moves you from faith to faith, which means if you don't understand the gift of righteousness, your faith can't go from faith to faith. It will not grow. It won't grow. It won't grow. And that's why the church is so weak. So weak. So weak. I was listening to my mentor. This is my mentor, the man that mentored me, that he went to somewhere and then somebody was sick, a family, they were sick. He prayed for them, they got healed. And the man told him, he said, the Christians of today are faithless. He said, if you know how many times they've been praying for us and nothing happened, and you just walked in here and prayed and we got healed. He said, why is it that Christians of today are faithless? It's because the devil has given them fake body. So they are dealing with their sin, crying over it. They are trying to wash it themselves. And then he's telling them to produce righteousness. They are doing that. Brethren, but Jesus said, give it to me. I came to give it what? To you. If you are following me, say amen. Amen. Let me repeat it. If you don't understand these things, your faith will be weak. Sickness, you can't stand. You'll be yelling and praying like prophet of Baal, cutting yourself, thinking it works. You'll be doing all that, killing yourself for nothing. For what comes very easy. Read the whole Bible. Show me one person that suffered for Jesus to come and heal them. Show me one person. Show me where they were awake for 4 days before Jesus came. Show it to me. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today. Why? Faithlessness. Faithlessness. Because we feel unworthy. Because we don't know how to deal. We don't trust that the blood of Jesus washes away my sin and I have another chance. May the Lord help us. Then finally. Yeah. Are you following me? If you are following me, say amen. I mean, if you are following me, say another amen. Watch it. Anytime you want to pray, the devil will sneak in and say, you think God will hear you? What is he trying to do? Kill your faith. Oh no, God will hear you well. Because it's Jesus that said, come what? Unto me. The second thing is that he will attack your identity. He will what? Attack your identity. Now here is Adam and Eve. I'm just summarizing this thing because of them. Here is Adam and Eve. They were made in the what? Image of God. Were they made in the image of God? And the devil shows up and tells them, when you eat this fruit, you are going to be like God. God already made them what? Image. And they were having fellowship with God. Here comes the devil says, you are not what God said you are. If you do this, you become what God said. God said you should be. I want you to listen to him. He said to them, has God said? So, no. If you do this, if you do this, you will now produce for yourself what God says you are. In other words, God hasn't made you like him. Produce it now. If. Confused her about her identity. And she wanted, because she was, being like God is a good idea. When she ate, church, I want you to follow me. When she ate, you know what the devil told him? He said, your eyes will open. And when she ate, it wasn't her eyes that spiritual eyes were open, it was the natural eye. And what she saw was sheep. What she saw was what? Sheep. Every single time the devil confuses your identity, you are going to be seeing sheep. And the next thing, he will give you leaves to cover for righteousness. And God said, no, I'm the one that covers you. So God made animal for them, signifying that Christ will be our covering. Gave it to them. Said, the one you made is leaves. I'm telling you, he will give you burdens to create these things that only God can do. What they saw was sheep. They realized they were now, but they were naked all the time. Why? They were walking by the Spirit with their spiritual eye. That was why they were seeing God. Now God will come and stay with them. But the devil moved them from walking by the Spirit to walking by their senses. And immediately you go to senses, you see flesh. It's shame. Nobody ever wins spiritual battle who is looking at shame. It's not possible. And then the second Adam came, Jesus himself. Of all the three temptations in the wilderness, two of them was about identity. Two of them. The same thing. He came, he said, if you are the Son of God, remember that God has spoken before, this is my beloved Son, in whom, then the devil shows up and says, if you are the Son of God, do this to prove it. Produce it. The same thing he told Adam. If, telling Jesus, if you are, twice, then he came and said, the authority of this earth is handed to me. If you bow to me, I'll give it to you. Then, that is sandwich temptation. Then he came back again and said, if you are the Son of God again. What the last one? If you are the Son of God, what did he tell him to do? Prove it. Brethren, you know, if Jesus wanted to prove it, that would be walking in doubt. That would be evil. What did we see? Sheep. And Jesus told him, no, we live by the word of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. If God says I am, that's what I am. I don't have to prove it. Satan, get thee behind me. Get lost. This dangerous Luke chapter 4, 3. No. Yeah. Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. New Living Translation. New Living Translation. Matthew chapter what? 16. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a what? Dangerous trap. This thing you are setting for me is a dangerous trap. This one brought down Adam and Eve. You brought here. Dangerous trap. Why? You are seeing things merely from what? Human point of view, not from God. So that's a dangerous trap. Very dangerous trap. The moment the devil brings it to you and makes you begin to interpret yourself from human point of view, you are going to see shame. You are not seeing glory, nothing. Because it's only those who believe that see the glory of God. So God says, in Christ Jesus, I've made you what? A new creature. Old things. Then the devil knocks on your door and says, hey, get up. Old things have passed away, right? Yeah. How about so? You think that thing God said is true? And you say, yeah, that's true. Yeah. You are not a new creature. In fact, let me tell you. It's you have this ancestral something that's attached to you. Okay? Say yeah.
You say, because see, it's killing your people. And you say, yeah, it will kill you too. You are not, you can't escape it. It will take you along. Didn't God say to you, all things have what? Passed away. And all things have become, you are called by my name. You are now in a new family. So forget about your grandfather and great-grandfather. You are members of my household. My name has been called upon you, and my spirit lives what? In you. Your identity comes from me. Your identity is not natural identity. It's a spiritual reality. If any man is in Christ, he's what? I'll tell you. There's this doctor, this sister that came here. Cancer had killed the happiness news. Killed the son. Killed the whole family. Killing them one by one. One by one. Killed the son. And then she came to, and now she had cancer herself. So she came to my office, and then she was telling me how this thing had killed everybody and the son, and now she has it. And she said, Pastor, I'm not angry with God, but I just want to die. After all, I lost my son. He said, it is a spiritual something. I said, okay, I'll give you, we'll make a deal. He said, what is the deal? I said, let God heal you first. Then you can decide to die. It's a real story. She gets this one here now. People had her. I said, let God what? Heal you first and take glory first. Let God take glory. Then after that, you can now follow your son. He said, really? I said, yeah. He said, when we got him, I said, right now, not tomorrow. I said, God is the God that healeth us. Jesus is the Lord that what? Healeth us. I'm telling you the truth. She said, really? I said, yeah. It's a simple deal now. Come on. Let God heal you. Give the testimony to people. Then you can now die. I don't have a problem with that. So we agreed. He said, what do I do? I said, simple prayer. God doesn't need you with microphone yelling into his ears. He said, make your request what? Known to me. It's so decent and simple. I said, we pray the same simple thing. Because the name of Jesus is honored in heaven, honored on earth. Those who believe it see the power in it. And then we pray a simple prayer. My office is there. We didn't even hear. And I said, you have seen this. I said, go and be playing it. God has answered us. She went and started playing. Long and short, she was healed of that cancer. And she came here and testified. How many of you had done? She kind of told you the story that the cancer left her. And then the Indian woman that God gave brand new bone that came here. Remember her now? That drove with one arm to this place. God gave her, she had cancer of the bone. God changed the whole bone, everything. There wasn't any struggle in all of this. Nothing. God desires to heal you. If he didn't desire, why did he go to the cross to bear your sickness, bear your... Why? Oh, Jesus, why? He desires. You're talking about ancestor or whatever. If the Son shall set you free, come on, talk to me. You are free what? Don't tell me another story. Don't bring me another story, devil. Get thee behind me. Jesus has set me free. And I will not be bound again. It's my job to resist you. Satan, ow! No, I'm not talking to you. I will resist you in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. If God says it, I believe it. That settles it. Don't change my identity, Satan. You are looking at a free man. Free. Ancestral what? It's not for me. The Son of God has what? And sin shall not have dominion over me. Because I'm under grace. If sin is ruling you, it's because you're under the law. You are trying to produce it. But when you give Jesus the burden of your life, if you hand it over to him, all things that are impossible to men become what? Possible. Become possible. You make your boast in the Lord your God. You give testimonies about God. You tell stories about Jesus and how powerful he is and how he changed your life. That's the thing. We always talk about Christ. We always talk. The people the reason we don't preach the gospel is that we don't know Christ. We don't know the relevance of Jesus in our life. We don't see what he's doing. We are carrying burden that this man gave us, carrying it and thinking we are the ones doing it. If we know the relevance of Christ, you talk about him in the morning, in the afternoon, in the night, because you will see his glory 24/7. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Brethren, I said, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Come on, I said, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There's one more thing I will tell you. There's one brother that came here. I was telling me all the demonic things happening, as he said. They were telling him all manner of things. I left him to tell these stories. He won't sleep. They were really harassing him. And I said to the Lord, I don't know what they say. I always tell God, I don't know what to say. Because I know I'm not smart. I said, Lord, I don't know what to say. So what do you want to say? The Lord said, listen to him. So when he finished, the Lord said, can you tell him this gospel? That the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I said, yeah. He saved already. He said, no, preach it to him. He doesn't understand it. I said, do you know, if I tell you now that you don't need prayer, will you believe me? You were looking at, with all this story, with all this long story, I don't need prayer, with all this what? I said, if I tell you that Jesus has set you free now, will you believe it? He said, yeah, I will. I said, the reason you are having all this is because you have rejected the truth. If you know the truth will what? Set you free. I said, Christ already delivered you from the powers of Satan. Who has believed our report? We brush Jesus on the feet. And then between all this, the devil is handing over to us. Believe the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe. I said, my brother, just believe he has set you free. He has set you free. And we started, I showed him scripture. And before long, he was laughing in the office. We were having a good time. Then we stood up and prayed and thanked God. Brethren, that thing stopped. And then I was asking his roommate, I said, how is your friend? He said, he's a pastor. He sleeps like a baby now. He really sleeps like a baby. In fact, the one that said you must go for Bible studies. So I said, why didn't he come? He said the professors put lecture for him. Yeah. All I showed him was what Jesus already accomplished. And immediately he embraced it. They didn't set him free. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Another one came to my office. And then, a long story. All this prayer got demonized. And then I said to him, you are not even born again. He said, the Reverend Father told me I'm born again. I said, no. Then I led him to the Lord. And then the thing started. Shake. In my office. I said to the devil, you don't do this in my office. I said, all this thing you do in Nigeria, I don't do it here. I'm not joking. I said, see, all this thing you do in Nigeria, you do, and they're following you around, calling fire and following. I said, don't do it in my office. Okay? And I said, in Jesus' name, sit down, be quiet, stop that nonsense. He sat quiet, the thing stopped. I said, don't come to my office and be doing all this. Yeah, I don't have time for it. Sit down and be quiet. I said, you do it in Lagos, and they are calling fire and following you, not here. Okay? And I said to him, I said, you are looking at me. Brethren, listen. I said, you are looking at me, you know you are defeated. I said, you know you are defeated. And you know we'll leave here. So you know what Jesus did to you on the cross. So in the name of Jesus, I demand you get up. Leave this man and don't come back. You saw him. Is he free or not? Totally free. No long story. Totally free. Why? Why? Because the testimony of God is yea and amen. Don't let the devil confuse you about it. If God says, I have destroyed the power of the Satan over you, that is absolute truth. If God says, I have given you authority over them in the name of my son, that is absolute what? Truth. Use it. It works. It didn't work because it's me. It worked because I believed it. And I didn't have to help it. By yelling, shouting, Do you know this? Brakatab. I didn't have to help the name of Jesus. It's already powerful as it is. Let's rise up.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.